right, turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 for the message this morning. I want to tell you all how much I appreciate you praying for me this last week while I spoke at Pensacola Christian College. We had a great time. I preached Wednesday morning to the seminary students, the seminary chapel, and then I preached on Wednesday night to the combination of the campus church and all the students. And that building was packed to the hilt. They said it seats about 6,000 people, and it was full. And then Thursday morning, I preached to the academy chapel at 9 o'clock, and then the college chapel at 11 o'clock. And then on Thursday, I took all of our gang out to dinner. It was 25-cent wings at Applebee's. And I don't understand that. The bill was $200. I don't understand that. Something wasn't right. But anyway, I know what wasn't right. The girl said, "Oh, I don't want wings. They're messy." And so they got steak and shrimp, and that's how we got to $200. But is that okay, Pastor? Yes, that's fine. You get what you want. But anyway, we had a blast. We did. We had a blast. They were supposed to be back at 10 o'clock, and we got back at 3 minutes till 10. And so we had a great time, though. We really did. And then Friday morning, preached again in chapel, and then flew home. And so thank you for praying for me. I appreciate Pastor Holbrook filling in on Wednesday night. And thank you for your prayers. We had a great time. It is intimidating as all get out to preach to 6,000 people. When you get out about 20 rows, you cannot see anything but oval things staring at you. And then what really puts the fear in your heart, behind you, that place is so huge that you know, they can't see. They're so far away from you, they can't see you. So they have these cameras set up all over the place, and they've got a screen that's as big as that opening back there. And they put your mug on that screen. Oh, yeah. So it's weird. I'm preaching out like this, and I'm looking, and nobody's looking at me. They're all looking over my head at the screen. And, it's awful. It's just awful. So intimidating. And but anyway, they told me, said, "You have 30 minutes. I can't give an introduction in 30 minutes. I told Dr. Mullenix, said, "I don't have 30-minute sermons." And he started laughing. And he said, "You got 30 minutes." So anyway, I gave the introduction to 4 sermons. That's about all I had time for. But we had a great time. Thank you for your prayers. And I do appreciate that. And I mean it. All right. 1 John chapter 3. Let's begin reading, please. I want to read just a couple of verses. And I want to preach to you from a phrase that is found in the last part of verse 2. In verse 1, John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, I've preached and taught you from this verse that the little phrase, "what manner of," does not mean "what kind of." It means, where does it come from? See the difference? It's not "what kind of," "what kind of love." No, it's "where does it come from?" Where does love come from that the Father has for us? Well, not from around here, all right? It's heavenly love. It comes from heaven. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right today, right here this morning, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know," not "we hope," or "we speculate," or "there's a 97% probability." No, we know. It's a promise. "But we know that when he," Christ, "shall appear," the rapture, when he comes back to get the church, "we shall be like him." And now here's the phrase that I want to speak to you from this morning. "For we shall see him as he is." We shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I want to speak to you from that little phrase that is found in the last part of verse 2, where John said, "We shall see him as he is." I want you to think with that phrase about that phrase with me this morning. It is a tremendous statement that is made. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us, and then we'll have the sermon. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for all the wonderful promises that are in these few verses that we've read this morning. Lord, I pray that you will bless now as we take a look at some of these promises. And Lord, as we think about the greatness of the promise that one day we will see our Savior, we will see him face to face, we will see him as he is. Lord, I pray that we will just get a little bit better understanding of what's in store for us as believers. And Lord, help us to see beyond this life that we now live. And Lord, while there are many days of happiness and joy in our lives here on earth, Lord, they are nothing in comparison to what is in store for those of us that know Christ as Savior. But Lord, the pinnacle of it all is that one day we will see Jesus as he is. And so, Lord, help us to understand what this phrase means and to get it in our hearts, Father, and look forward to that day when we see our Savior face to face. Father, I pray you'll stir the heart of every believer. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's not sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they realize what they're going to miss if they don't get saved. And Lord, may today be the day of salvation. So Lord, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses that I read for you this morning are some of the most wonderful words that were given from the heart and from the hope of the Apostle John. John begins by telling us of the great love that God the Father has for us. And he tells about how that this love was unconditional and how it was demonstrated. God demonstrated that love for us when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary's cross. He demonstrated his love when he sent his Son to be our sacrifice for our sin. But then John speaks of one of the greatest promises that can be found in the Bible, and how that promise impacts and how that promise affects each and every one of us. He says, and look at your Bible, please. Look at verse 2. He says in this promise that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Folks, think about it, that we shall know Christ with a knowledge that is perfect is the scriptural hope which every believer should cherish with every fiber of his being. There is coming a day when we will know the Lord Jesus Christ with a perfect knowledge, with a perfect understanding. We shall see him as he is. Now, according to this same apostle, I want you just to think about what John said in his gospel in chapter 1 in verse 18. In the gospel of John, John said, "No man has seen God at any time." God is a spirit, John 1:18. God is a spirit. And he said, "No man has seen God at any time." God is a spirit. Folks, listen, I don't think when you get to heaven, I don't think that you're going to literally see God the Father. Now, I may be wrong on that, but God is a spirit. How do you see a spirit? A spirit does not have a body. A spirit is a spirit. It's not a body. And I'm not sure that you're going to see God the Father. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I just do not think that you're going to see God the Father. You say, well, who are we going to see? You're going to see Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. Can I remind you that even the seraphim around the throne veiled their faces with their wings and could not look upon the essence, the glory of God? Will that change once we get to heaven and once we receive our glorified bodies? Well, I cannot say for sure, But I do know that the seraphim, these mighty creatures that I spoke about last weekend, I do know that the seraphim, the bodyguards of heaven, cannot and do not even look upon the glory of God the Father. But this thing I do know for sure, I do know that while God may forever be shrouded from our eyes in His essential being, it is not so with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know from this passage of Scripture and others, one thing is for sure, one thing is clearly taught in the Scripture, and that is when the believer wakes up in glory, he shall see his Savior face to face. That's clear from the Word of God. Right now, we walk by faith, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But once we get beyond the veil of this flesh, our faith will be turned into sight, and we will see Jesus face to face. We shall see Him as He is. Now, Christian, I want you to think about that. This is an amazing statement. Let me take another thing that Paul said by way of introduction before I bring you to the body of the sermon. Let me take a passage of Scripture, just a thought that Paul had out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When thinking about heaven, when writing to the Corinthian church about what was awaiting us in heaven, the Apostle Paul said, "Eye hath not seen. Neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You see, the Apostle Paul said that there is just absolutely no way that with our limited understanding and with our sinful natures now holding us back from getting it all, there is just no way we can fully comprehend and understand all that God has prepared for them that love Him. And of all the things, I mean, listen, folks, that is the faith in which the saints of God have lived, and that is the faith in which the saints of God have died. And of all the things that God has so prepared there, nothing is going to be as wonderful. Think about all that God has prepared, yet nothing is going to be as wonderful as being able to see our blessed Savior face to face. Folks, just think about it. You walk in to the streets of gold. Now, you've read about it. You've heard about it in this book. You have heard me preach about it. You've heard others preach about it. And so the day comes when you leave here and you go into the presence of the Lord. Maybe it is because of the rapture of the church, but the trumpet sounds and boom, we all go up. I want you to think about it, dear friend. You walk through gates of pearl. You've never seen anything like this. You walk onto streets of gold. You've never seen anything like that. That gold is so pure and so refined that you can see right through it. And you're walking on it. You walk through that gate onto those streets of gold, and there are mansions everywhere, and there is before you all of heaven. Well, folks, I want to serve notice on you that as wonderful as it is and as splendid as it is, that's not what makes heaven heaven. The thing that makes heaven heaven is the fact that you now are face to face with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that's what makes heaven heaven. So a couple of things about this phrase. Look at it again, please. For we shall see Him as He is. Now, there are three things I call to your attention. Three things about this matter of what it means to see Him as He is. First of all, we should view these words in their deepest sense. I want you to think about these words in their deepest sense. Notice the wording that is used by the Holy Spirit. We shall see Him as He is. See this as a vivid contrast to what the Savior was. Remember now, we read in this Bible about the Savior who came to this earth 2,000 years ago. And when we stand here today in 2008, we see Him as He was. We see Him as He was. But there is coming a day when we will see Him as He is. But right now, we see Him as He was. Let me show you what I mean. We have a Bible here that tells us all about our Savior. It tells us about the life He lived. It tells us about His birth and His life and His death and so on. We know all about Him through this book. See this as a vivid contrast to what our Savior was. Right now, we see Him as He was, but there's coming a day when we will see Him as He is. Right now, we see Him as He is revealed to us in the Scripture. But the thought of the apostle goes far deeper than any difference between past and present. You see, John knew, as all the apostles knew, that his exalted Lord was always one, always the same. He was the Lord of heaven. He was God in the flesh before the cross, and He was the Lord of heaven, God in the flesh after the cross. John knew that He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I think what John meant was that we can't yet fathom Jesus as He is. We can see Him as He was. We can read about Him in the Bible, and we can by faith accept that. We can see Him as He was. We can see Him as the Son of Man. We can see Him beaten and scourged and rejected of men and nailed to the cross of Calvary. We can see that. We can see it because we can read about it in the Scriptures. We can even see Him as resurrected from the tomb. We see it by faith, of course. None of us were there. We read about it in the Scripture, and we believe it by faith, and we can see Him even resurrected from the grave because we can see it in the Bible. But listen, dear friend, John's point, I think, is that none of us were there. We know Him, but we know Him only by faith. But one day, and Christian, listen, this ought to be exciting to you. I mean, one day we're no longer going to just know Him by faith. We're going to see Him with our literal eyes, and we will see Him not as He was, but as He is. Amen. And the wonder of heaven is that one day we will see Him as He is. With eyes that will be made perfect by the love of God, we have a day coming when for the first time we will see Him as He is. Now I want you to think about that day when our faith is turned into sight. You know, it can be a thrilling thing. It can also be a devastating thing, I suppose. But it can be a thrilling thing, or it can be a devastating thing, when we first see people as they really are. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, let's say we're familiar with church here. So let's take the church for example. All right, let's say that you observe somebody either in Sunday school class, or you observe them in the choir, or you observe them in the Living Cross. You observe them in some way, some shape, some form here in the church. And let's suppose that in the course of time, you are put into a situation where you really see this person. Now, you've seen them, but you haven't really seen them. But then something, you are put in a situation where you really see them as they really are. Now, that can either be a good thing or a bad thing, can it not? I mean, it can be a good thing if you see them as they really are and you see a compassionate soul, or you see a helpful soul, or you see a concerned soul. It can be a devastating thing if something happens and this person snaps and flips and goes off and loses his temper and embarrasses himself and embarrasses his church and embarrasses his Lord. I mean, it can be a devastating thing as well. You might think you know someone, and then the hour arrives when they either shine brightly or else their behavior just blows us out of the water. But anyway, it's in these moments that it occurs to us when we see them as they really are, it occurs to us, whoa, I didn't really know that guy at all. I never would have guessed that so-and-so was like that. You know, there are sometimes, for example, you know, you could have go to a Sunday school class and somebody stand up and give a soul winning testimony, or somebody stand up and pray, and you've watched this person and you had no idea that that they had this depth to them. You had no idea that they had this character to them. And while you thought you knew them, you really did not know them. And so the point that I'm trying to get you to see is that I think it'll be the same way when we get to heaven. I think when we wake up in heaven one day, we will feel, although we have known the Savior for many, many years, we will realize that, hey, I really never knew the Savior. When we were purged, when we were purified, when the love of God is given to us so that we have eyes to see, we will then see Him as He is. And folks, listen, if you think He's wonderful now, just wait till you really get to see Him face to face. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see. Look at it in its depth. We will see Him as He is. There's a second aspect to this statement. Second, it is in this immediate vision which will crown the blessedness of heaven. Folks, this is seeing Jesus is what heaven's going to be all about. Amen. Seeing Jesus is what heaven is going to be all about. I mean, the best thing about heaven is the fact that we're going to see Jesus as He really is. You see, the Bible is very emphatic. The Bible is very, very emphatic that heaven is a real place. It's a real place. Amen. All right, heaven is not, the Bible presents it not as some fictitious land, you know, out in the nether sphere, out there floating around somewhere, and, you know, no, heaven is a real place. I mean, the Bible is very clear about that. The Scriptures take great care to point out to us that heaven is a very real place. Jesus said, for example, to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. When John gave us the book of the Revelation, John saw streets of gold, and he saw walls of jasper and gates of pearl. He saw the river that flows from underneath the throne of God. He saw trees, and he saw the fruit that grew on the tree. And all of these things show us that what John saw was a real place. It was not just some figment of his imagination. But now think about this. I want you just to think about this for a minute. You know, a mansion can be a very lonely place, can it not? A mansion can be a very lonely place. I have, through the years, you know, gone to visit some of these big mansions that people have built. You know, I've been to the what's that called? The Biltmore House. I've been to that thing. You've been there, haven't you? Been through the Biltmore. You don't think you're ever going to get through the thing. You know, I mean, how many rooms can they put in a house? You know what I'm saying? And why would you want all those rooms? You know, you'd have to draw yourself a map to get around the place. And I've often thought, why would anybody want to live in a house like this? Why in the world would you want to live in a house like this? I mean, think about it, folks. A mansion can be a very lonely place. If you've ever visited a mansion, you surely wondered if whoever used to live there was not the loneliest person in the world with all that room for such a few number of people. And it's amazing how we need family. We need loved ones. We need those that are the most precious people in the world to us to make a house a home. So it doesn't matter how magnificent heaven is, folks. I'm here today to tell you that it would be the most lonely place in the world if the presence of our Savior was not there. And that's the wonderful thing about heaven, and that's what John is trying to get us to see here, is that when you get there, you're going to see Him as He is. Amen. So it doesn't matter how magnificent heaven is, it would be a lonely place if the presence of the Savior was not there. You see, the truth is, even the beautiful scenery God made concerning heaven would not and could not satisfy the human heart. I mean, think about heaven, folks. What do we read in the Bible? We read that it is such a wonderful place. I mean, the beauty of heaven is so much greater than any beauty on earth. And there are some beautiful places on planet earth. Right now, I stepped out of my house this morning and our dogwood tree finally bloomed. Praise the Lord. Everybody else's dogwood tree bloomed except for ours. And it's always that way. It's the last one. And I stepped out the door and boom, there it was. Boy, just always splendor and glory. And I just stood there this morning and looked at it and praised God for its beauty. Amen. Let me tell you something, dear friend. What we read in the Bible, the beauty of heaven is going to be so much more than the beauty on earth. And there are some beautiful places on earth. And yet, heaven is not going to be heaven because of its beauty. Heaven is going to be heaven because of Jesus. That's what makes heaven such a wonderful place. It is the Lord Jesus for whom we have lived on earth, and it is Jesus who will give us life once we get to heaven. Folks, that's why Paul, when he thought of heaven, went right straight to Christ. I mean, let me remind you, he never dwelt on any of the things that are in heaven. He just talked about Jesus all the time. Let me remind you, when he wrote his letters and, when he started talking about how the ministry was tough and how he was suffering and, all these things, and he stopped and he said, I have a desire to depart and go to heaven. I have a desire to depart and go to heaven. And then he stopped and thought about it, and he thought, I don't want to go there because of its beauty. I don't want to go there because of my mansion. I don't want to go there because of anything else. I want to go there because of Jesus. Here was his analogy. He said, whether I stay here and preach the gospel, what's the gospel about? It's about Jesus. He said, or if I have to die and go to heaven, what's in heaven? Jesus is in heaven. And his point was, so I'm torn between. Do I want to stay here? Do I want to go on to heaven? He said, it really doesn't matter because here I got Jesus and there I got Jesus, so I'm the winner regardless of where I am. Amen. Folks, I'm saying it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So the second idea is that we will see him as he is. And folks, that's what's going to make heaven such a blessed place. That we will see Jesus face to face. There's a third thing I want you to consider when thinking about this phrase. We will see him as he is. That we can regard as certain. Well, folks, may I remind you that the best place to see somebody as they really are, I mean, if you want to get, I'm talking about the lowdown on somebody. You want to get the scoop on somebody. The best place to see them as they really are is in their home. Right? In their home. I think if you're really going to see somebody as they really are, you've got to see them at home. You see, you can come here and, we all do that. You can come here. And you can put on the dog in front of us. You can come here. And, you can wear your Sunday clothes. And, you can put that smile on your face. And, you can go around and speak to everybody, nod your head. You can say amen when you think I think you ought to say amen. You can really put on airs for us. But You see, if I were to come to your home, that's where I'm going to see you as you really are. That's where I see you as you really are. A man may work hard to make others outside the home think he is something other than what his family knows he really is. You know, the worst hypocrite in the world is that man that smiles and puts on like he's some kind of spiritual giant to the church folks, but then acts like the devil at home to his wife and kids. I mean, listen, folks, when the dog walks in, or when you walk in the door and the dog runs, something's wrong. Amen. If you are a loving, caring, compassionate person, your family will know it. Your family will know it because you're yourself at home. You are who you are at home. You don't put on airs at home. Could you imagine if you sat down at the dinner table and your teenage son was sitting there and you sat down at the dinner table and all of a sudden your teenage son looked over and said, "Mother and Father, thank you so much for providing this food for us to eat today. We need sustenance in order to survive. We must eat in order to live. And Mother and Father, thank you. Father, thank you for working so hard. Mother, thank you for cooking and making this meal possible." You'd be sitting there going, "What? You've been out in the sun too long. Your brain's melted." Dad would reach over and slap the son and say, "Quit that. You're making me nervous. Don't talk like that." No, you're yourself at home. You're yourself at home. We are at home. When we are at home, we are as we are. We're what we are. And my dear friend, listen, I've had many a teenager through the year say to me, "Oh, Pastor, you have no idea what it's like to be in our home. You have no idea. You can deceive others, but you cannot deceive your family members. They know if you are what you say you are." Home is where we know even as we're known. And it is there, at his home, where we will see him as he is. Think about it, dear friend. Jesus is right now at the right hand of the throne of God. He's home. And when we see him as he is, we're going to see him at home as he really and truly is. We will no longer see him as we do now among those who scorn him, but we will see him among the multiplied millions who love him. When he was here, he was despised and rejected. When he was here, he had no place to lay his head except against an old rugged cross. And he was in his life and death on earth so wonderful and so gracious and so kind and so full of mercy and so full of love. Just imagine, dear friend, I mean, that's the way he was when he was here. Can you imagine what he's going to be like when you get to his home and you get to see him as he really is? Among those that are there loving him and worshiping him. In heaven, he'll be among those that are all on his side. There won't be anybody against him. I won't be anybody. There's not going to be any scoffers up there. There's not going to be anybody laughing at him up there. Here, when he was here, when he did good for others, they mocked him for it. They rebuked him for it. They scorned him for doing good. When he was here, they laughed at his word. And by the way, folks, they're still laughing at his word today. Everywhere he went, he was under the watchful eye of those who hated every single step that he took. But in heaven, he will be among those who adore him and worship him. There won't be anybody up there criticizing him. No, nobody up there will mock him. Not one single soul will reject his grace. Our only thought will be when we see him and when we stand before him, our only thought will be, "Wow, how can I love him more today than I did yesterday? And Lord, how can I serve you better today than what I served you yesterday?" That'll be your only thought. That'll be your only thought. Who can tell the depths of his character and person that will be revealed to us when we see him as he is at his home in heaven? Oh, my friend, what a thought this is. We shall see Him as He is. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I mean, just think about it. I'm looking forward to that day. I have now for 38 years seen Him by faith. I've read about Him in this book. And by the way, I believe what I read about Him in this book, don't you? I've seen Him by faith, but I've not seen Him with my literal eyes as He is. I've seen Him as He was, but have not yet seen Him as He is. And boy, I'm looking forward to the day when I see Him face to face. I had an interesting thing happen to me this week down in Pensacola. I had a fellow come up to me and he said, "Sir, you don't know me." And he stuck his hand out and he introduced himself. And I said, "Well, it's good to meet you." He said, "You don't know me." He said, "But I know you." I said, "You do?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "As a matter of fact," he said, "I know you so well." He said, "It's really kind of scary." And boy, it was. That made me scary when he said that. And I finally looked at him and said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I get on your website every week. There is not a week pass that I don't get on your website and download 2 sermons." He said, "I put those sermons in my hard drive and then I sync them into my iPod. Yeah. I put that in my iPod." And he said, "I then take that iPod and I listen to you preach." And he said, "I have probably heard every sermon that is on your webpage. And as a result of that," he said, "I feel like I just know you." And he looked at me and he said, "And by the way, you don't look anything like I thought you'd look." I looked at him and I said, "Well, Buster, you ain't much to look at either." And we had a laugh together. He said, "No, I figured you about 6'8". He said, "I figured your shoulders were about this broad." He said, "I figured you had fists about that big around." He said, "You preach like a wild man, and I figured you were just this great big old wild guy throwing people out the front door all the time." He said, "And look what you are." So I said, "That's it. We're going around here. I'll show you." And we had a good time laughing about it. The point I want you to see, folks, is that we have this idea. We have this concept. We get these images. We get this understanding. We get to thinking about how things are and how people are. And, you know, I never will forget when we went to Ireland. Look at me. I never will forget when we went to Ireland. And when that plane landed, and I looked outside that airplane, and there were 9,000 shades of green. I thought, "Wow, look at this place." It was not anything at all like I pictured it would be. I remember when I went to China, I thought, you know, what's China going to be like? And when we got out in the country and I looked around, haze and fog and just pollution and fires burning all over the place. We're out in the country, fires burning all over the place. And China was nothing like what I thought it would be. But you see, when we see things, we see them as they really are. We have a picture. We have a mindset. We have a mentality. We have an understanding. Where do we get our understanding about Jesus? We get it from the book. That's the only source. That's the only source is what we find in this book. My dear friend, I want to serve notice on you that once you see Him as He was, that gives you the hope that one day you're going to see Him as He is. And let me tell you, here's the point, folks. You think it's wonderful as He was? The half has not even been told. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. I'll close with this. About 13 years ago, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't know. Back 175 years ago. I don't know when it was. I was at Midway Airport trying to check in for a flight. And I'm standing at the counter, And the person behind the counter just kept looking over my shoulder, just looking right over me, and while dealing with my ticket information, and just kept looking over my shoulder. And I kind of turned a little bit like this, and I saw people standing over here like this. And I looked this way, and I saw people standing over here, and everybody was looking at the same direction behind me. I thought, what in the world is going on? I turned around, and as far away as I am from Pastor Campbell stood Muhammad Ali. Now, I thought Muhammad Ali was 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight. No, he's about 6 foot tall. He was about 6 foot tall. I thought Muhammad Ali would be this great big man. No, he was just, looked like any one of us. Now, when I shook hands with him, his hands were that big. He had huge, huge, huge hands. And I stood there and I looked at Muhammad Ali. I shook his hand. I walked over to him. Everybody else was standing there just, I thought, wow, God put Muhammad Ali in front of me. So I walk over, grab a track. I go walking over. I stuck my hand out and I said, hey, champ. He leaned forward and he said, hello. He had Parkinson's syndrome, couldn't speak hardly. And he leaned forward, and he put his hand on my shoulder and leaned into my ear and said, hello. And I said, champ, I've seen all your fights. I said, I've been a boxing fan. I said, I've watched all your fights. I've seen every one of them that can be seen. And I said, I'm a preacher. And I said, I want to give you this gospel tract. I said, do you know the Lord is your Savior? And he just smiled at me. And he leaned forward and he said, thank you. I said, champ, do you know the Lord? And he looked at the tract and he nodded his head like he did. I don't know if he got it. I don't know if he understood. But I about that time, his 9 foot tall bodyguard came and whisked him away. But I got to give him a tract and he stuck it in his pocket and shook my hand once again before he left. You know, we all were used to that Muhammad Ali, you know, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. And there was little old Muhammad Ali, this shriveled up old man, now diseased. And I was a little disappointed. How was Muhammad Ali? Well, he didn't look like much. He was a little rough. Couldn't hardly talk above a whisper. I was a little disappointed. Felt sad. I felt a little discouraged about that. Then, you know, I was thinking a little while ago, all these years I've lived for Jesus. All these years I've read about him. All these years I've read about seeing him as he was. Hoo-wee. I am not going to be disappointed when I get to heaven and see him as he is. And neither will you. May God help us to see this point and realize, wow, the best is yet to come. Getting saved and living for God, it's all good. But boy, it's nothing to compare when we shall see him as he is. May God help us to understand this message. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. No one looking around. Let me ask you a couple personal questions this morning. Let me ask you some questions. Let me ask you, first of all, how many saved people here this morning will say, Pastor, I know the Lord. I'm saved. If I died, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. I know the Lord. But, Pastor, you know, the Lord's speaking to my heart. The Lord's speaking to my heart. I know Christ is my Savior. There's no doubt about that. But, preacher, I just haven't been living for the Lord like I should. I mean, I've let all this stuff get in my way. I've let everything crowd into my life. And, Pastor, I'm just not living for God like I should. And I want you to pray for me this morning. God's speaking to my heart. I just need to get closer to the Lord. And God's speaking to my heart. Would you raise your hand all over this building and let's pray together about this morning? Amen. Good. What a wonderful sight that is. Thank you. May put your hands down. Thank you so much. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask this question. How many of you here today will say, Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I just don't know. I just don't know that I'd go to heaven. And I need you to pray for me, Preacher. I need the Lord. I want to one day go to heaven and see him as he is. I want to I want to know that heaven is my home, but I don't know that right now. And God's dealing with me about it. Preacher, pray for me this morning. Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray for you. You're not sure you're saved, and you know you need to be. Would you hold your hand up right now and let me pray for you? Let me ask God to help you. Just lift your hand and hold it up. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved, and I want you to pray for me. Anybody like that? Yes, God bless you. Up in the balcony, I see your hands. You may put them down. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I know I need to be saved, and I want you to pray for me. Anybody else before we pray this morning? Anyone else? All right. Now, Father, you know our needs today, and I pray that you will meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, there are so many hands that were raised here this morning from saved people. And Lord, while we're here living our lives now, we live by faith. Lord, one day they'll be turned into sight. But Lord, right now we live by faith. And it's difficult with the devil fighting. And Lord, a lot of folks here this morning felt that, Lord, they could get closer to you and live the better Christian life by faith. Lord, help them this morning. I pray that you will help them to get in the Word. Help them to get faithful to church. Help them, Lord, to grow and become what they ought to be for Christ. And then, Lord, there are folks here today that need to be saved. Lord, today is the day of salvation, you said in your words. And so I pray that these will come and let us open the Bible and show them how they can know they're going to heaven. Lord, don't let one person walk out of this building today without that assurance that heaven is their eternal home. So, Lord, save some soul today. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you've done for us. Now bless us richly. In Jesus' name, amen.